I want you to turn with me to John chapter 1, and I want to look at chapter 1, verse 41, and we want to take a look at Andrew. And if you're taking notes, who is that man? I think that's a good title. Who is that man? Because no one ever remembers him, and he lived in the shadow of his brother Simon Peter. And so when he was introduced, it was Andrew who, the brother of Simon Peter. Hey, can I get together with Peter? Can you hook me up with Peter? And so Andrew had to work through a lot of bitterness, no doubt. And sometimes we don't do well. I think sometimes when God begins to move, we disqualify ourselves. And so I think number one issue, as you begin to learn to evangelize, and these guys are going to tell you how to do it. But if you don't have a heart for God, and you don't keep that heart right before God, then all the tools are never going to work. Well, God will use a donkey, so you're okay. You're covered there. But it'd be better for you to be right with God. And one of the great things that I read about Andrew is that he spent time with Christ. And what's so cool about that is that he had to make decisions on his own. So the decision he made was to go after his brother. And then you remember when Philip was stuck and Jesus was just dealing with Philip? Hey, what do you mean you can't feed the multitude? It was Andrew that was able to find a boy, and check this out. It was a boy that was willing to trust an adult to give him the food. So that tells me that Andrew probably had a very gentle and tender spirit. And so he brought the boy to Jesus. And then you remember later on with the Greeks, it was Philip that now looks up to Andrew and says, hey, you know, I'm jammed. I don't know what to do. And it was, again, Jesus seeing Andrew bring the Greeks to him. So when you look at Andrew, he's a giant. But you're never going to see that until you really see the scriptures. And one of the key things I have to tell you, and I'll just say this and then we'll dive into the study. It's kind of like the book of Daniel. Daniel was just unbelievably blessed. He was up on the upper echelons. He went from government to government. He was able to do all kinds of things. But if you don't understand the chronological order, when all of a sudden Belshazzar came into the throne and that handwriting on the wall, meeny, meeny, tekel, upharsis, they said, there's a man in your kingdom who's able to interpret that. And so they found Daniel. Well, that was 20 years that Daniel was out of commission. He was able to come out of commission and get back in and read the word of God. You've been weighed, numbered, and found wanting. You're done. And what I see in that is that sometimes we're just on fire if we're in ministry. So we should be on fire if we're in ministry, out of ministry. In other words, our devotional life is the power of devotions and evangelism. And remember, every place you see so often in the scripture, Jesus sent people back home to do evangelizing. He said to the demon-possessed man, go back home. I'd love to have you, but go back home. And we're to shine at home. And so if I can't really win my wife, I can't win my family, I can't win my neighborhood, what in the world am I doing across the sea? And it's a sad story, even Dwight O. Moody, that he was able to turn the continents twice, two of them, upside down, but his own children he never reached. So sometimes we justify that. No, we need to have a tender heart, a strong heart, and we need to always go after people. So my goal today is to teach you how to reach out, even to a bitter wife, or even to a angry boss, or even to somebody in the church that you don't like. If you're unwilling to start rising up and being who God's called you to be and begin to live for the glory of God and understand you're bigger than that other person, then you're never going to understand what it is. Jesus came down and reached out to me when I was a sinner. So the first thing I need to do is I need to erase everything that people has done to me, and I need to make one covenant. God, you have blessed my life, therefore I'm going to be a giver. And if you can be a giver, you're going to be able to give things away. You're going to be able to give your heart away. Like Lydia, she got saved, God opened her heart, she opened her home, she opened her icebox. And so it's kind of cool when I begin to look at this. John 1, 41. He first finds his own brother Simon and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is to be interpreted, "a son." So who is that guy? In other words, who is that one over there? Most people would never know. He's hand in hand with another brother. Well, that brother would be none other than his own brother. But we don't remember him. And so he was one of the first disciples. And he was one of the ones who led the first one to Christ. So it's kind of cool when you begin to read who he was. He was an ordinary guy. Now, these guys are going to share probably some great stories, but you are ordinary people. I would have to say he played second fiddle. Now, I know it is the dream of every man to be top dog. But I have to tell you, probably 90% of you are going to be second fiddle. But when you come to realize that there are only a few Pauls and a few this, second fiddle is a powerful thing. Timothy, I believe, saved Paul's ministry. Paul said to Timothy, "I have no man greater than Timothy, because all seek their own and not the things of Christ. If it wasn't for Pastor Rob and Wendell and some of the brothers here, I couldn't do what I'm doing." So when you talk about second fiddle, I don't believe that's a put down. One of the great things about being number two is on Saturday night, you can watch TV and have a great time with your wife. Me, I got to study. So there's some great advantages, let me tell you. You get to travel. You don't have to worry about the business. You don't have to worry about nothing. You can do ministry sometimes in a more powerful way because you get rid of the administration and you do pure ministry. But the struggle is I got to be number one. And so you fight and you're always reaching up. And the problem is that oftentimes you probably will never be that. Andrew was passed by. It was Peter, James, and John that were taken in. And then the other nine were kind of left out. Now, let me turn the thing around. Now, you look at Peter, James, and John, you think, well, wow, man, they were blessed. Well, how about this? Maybe they were problem children, and Jesus couldn't trust them, so he had to take them in with him. No, it could be that way, too, that Peter, James, and John caused all the problems. You have John, the son of thunder. You got Peter, would never shut his mouth up. And you got James, this is hard as nails. So maybe Jesus took him in and says, you know, you guys come with me. You're going to cause too much problem out there. So we really don't know. But otherwise, there's the first team, which is Peter, James, and John. And then there's that second team that all the way begin to do great ministry. And so we want to be the first team. And we labor to prove to our parents. And we labor to prove to our wives. Well, maybe that's not what God's will is for your life. Maybe it's better to be number two and be the best at what you do and find out what God wants you to do. And that's what I wanted to share a little bit about this morning. In other words, Andrew was a normal guy who accepted God's will and who accepted God's position and, listen, who played the part of God's will. In other words, it was Andrew that God was beginning to work in. And he was number two. He didn't make the cut. But God began to work in his life. And here's what happens. When God says no, he still trusted. When God took something away, he still loved people. And that's a very wonderful gift. When all of a sudden David was told, no, you cannot build the temple. He didn't cop an attitude. He found his own son, Solomon, and gave him the money and gave him the property. So sometimes we hear a no. Or sometimes we don't get what we want and we just set. That's Satan. Satan is trying to disqualify you and to get you so discouraged that you're no longer a blessing. You are a blessing before God. You have been called by God himself. You are the servants of the Most High. You are kings and priests of God. And so Satan wants to take you out. Now, he might let you get involved. Satan might let you go to church. Satan might let you even have a ministry. And Satan might even let you have a pulpit. But as long as you're not producing or fruitful, that's all he cares about. If you're sterile, you're not going to reproduce. So you can be in this pulpit and have total depression in your heart and have no victory, and people will see it. So if you stand here, you got to have victory. You have to somehow understand that you have to rise above it. And the same with you. Your home, you have to rise. Who is preaching at home and who's sharing? Andrew never complained. He just constantly looked for opportunities. So Andrew, to me, was a guy that looked for opportunities. He looked around, he looked out, and he was able in a very powerful way to see and to bring people to Jesus Christ. Now, if I get depressed, I don't look around. If I get bummed because I'm not number one, I just sit. Well, that's the problem. I need to rise and begin to see. And sometimes you never get a raise, you never go on in your life because you're so bummed. What is Satan trying to do? He's keeping you from who you are and what you are. And one of the key things is you need to accept who you are. I'm not Greg Laurie, and I'm not Skip Isaac. I'm Steve Mays. I've tried to be Chuck. I've tried to be other people. But you know, I like who I am. I was born with half the muscles in my tongue, so I can't pronounce words. I have two hearing aids because I can't hear. I can't even hear my own voice, and yet they say it's a good voice. And took speech therapy for 18 years. And they told me I'd never be able to speak. And here I am. So God's able to do whatever you want and He wants in your life. But attitudes and things will disqualify you from what God wants. And so you need to understand something very important. I'd like to share three things with you. Three things about Andrew that I hope you never forget. And I pray that this study kind of launches the other two. Number one, Andrew's conversion. Andrew's conversion. And number two, Andrew's character. Andrew's character. And number three, the biggie, Andrew's concern. And I think a lot of times we're concerned, amen? But we don't have character. And I think a lot of times we have tremendous passion, but we really haven't spent time with Jesus Christ. If you hang out with the lilies, you're going to smell like what? A lily. You hang out with a cesspool, you're going to smell like what? The cesspool. So the first thing I need to do is I really need to understand Andrew. So Andrew's conversion, notice in John chapter 1, verse 35. Again, the next day after John stood, two of his disciples, looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." That's John speaking, John the Baptist. And the two disciples, one was Andrew, heard him speak. Now check this out. They followed Jesus. They didn't say, well, should we? They just did. They took off. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, "What seek ye?" And they said unto him, you know, basically, "You, Master, where do you live?" He said unto them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where thou dwellest and abode with him. And check it out. And the day, for it was about the 10th hour. Some people believe they even spent the night. I can't say that. But here's what I like. Number one, when Andrew heard, he knew. So he began to follow. And he did follow close enough that it stopped Christ. And when Jesus turned around, Andrew knew exactly what he wanted. "We want to follow you. And we want to know where you live. And we want to come home with you." Because Andrew was touched by Jesus Christ. And so the first thing I begin to realize is that he was acquainted with Christ. When you spend time with God, when you spend time in the Word, when you spend time in devotions, you're going to be absolutely unstoppable. You're never going to rise higher than your devotional life. And so the greatest witness are those who are spending time with Christ. Now, let me tell you, as a senior pastor, you have seen pastors taken out, and you have seen evangelists taken out, and you have seen television people taken out. And I'll tell you why. You can go back to every one of those guys, and they stopped their devotional life. They got caught. They put away their devotional life. They begin to run with a good heart. They begin to become famous. They had a little tiny person. They had a great God. Now they're a great person. They have a little tiny God. So the first thing about Andrew is he hooked up and hung on and made a covenant that he's going to be real close to Jesus Christ. So he spent time with Christ. It's number one. Are you spending time? You say, "Well, you know, I don't have a devotional life." Then your marriage is probably a mess. "Well, I don't really have a devotional life." Then you're probably not doing a great work at work. Daniel was the top of his class. He was put there because they said, "Nothing is going to happen to our business." When you are in the Word of God, you have an excellent spirit. You have a spirit like Caleb. And at 80 years old, you can climb a mountain. And once again, here he is at his age preaching the gospel. That tells Tom and I and Rob, we can do this. This is so important down deep. So number one, we realize his conviction with Christ. Number two, Andrew's character, verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Underline that. Simon Peter's brother. Now, why would he say that? That just dogs me. It's like, you know, I go traveling with Chuck and they say, Chuck. Oh, this is Steve. Steve who? Oh, nobody. And you start dropping names because you're nobody. And so you feel like nobody. Well, you are somebody. And sometimes the people that are somebody are nobody to God. And the people who are nobody become somebody to God. And the ordinary become the extraordinary. So you never put God out saying, God, you don't care. He was an ordinary guy, but he had a problem. He had to live in his brother's shadow. Now, no doubt they were in partners together. They were equal in the fishing business. They made decisions. They grew up together. They did everything probably 50-50. But now Christ makes a difference. He chooses one to go up and the other one to stay here. Does that bother you? You bet it does. Does that irritate you? You bet. Does that cause your flesh to rise? It does. Does it disqualify? Most guys, it will disqualify. Because you're trying to destroy somebody and not accept the call of God on your life. So when I know what God wants me to do, I don't have to fight. If God's made me number one, I got to be number one. And I got to do it in such a way that I respect the ones who God put behind me. If I'm number two, I got to hold down the fort and I need to support number one. But the Bible tells me they that ran and they that stayed, they all got the same stuff. So in God's eyes, it's no biggie. If God made you a Timothy, then be the best Timothy. If God made you to be a Paul, be the best Paul. Before their calling, they were equal. After the call, there was now the problem of him living in the shadow. But let me just share with you. If it had not been for Stephen, we would never have a Paul. We don't know much about Stephen, but you remember in the book of Acts, he was faithful and was killed. But he turned the life of Paul the apostle because he got to Paul. It was Philip that was preaching, and all of a sudden, you remember he was a deacon. He washed dishes. Because he was faithful washing dishes, God let him wash people's heart. He was an evangelist. And so he went over here to Gaza, and then he led the Ethiopian man to Christ, and Africa came to know Christ. And then Philip went, and he was faithful. Philip was faithful with the dishes. He was faithful with people. He was faithful with God, and he was faithful with the daughters. That's important. If it had not been for a Sunday school teacher, we'd never have a Dwight L. Moody. It was a Sunday school teacher that said, God's looking for one man who will help him. And Dwight L. Moody said, if that's all that God wants, he can stop looking. I am God's man. And if it wasn't for a lay preacher, we wouldn't have Spurgeon. It was a story about a guy that didn't even go to his own pulpit because it was snowing. And so they were going to cancel the service. But one of the lay people got up and taught a horrible message. But Spurgeon was hiding up in the loft and heard the call of God on his life. And if it wasn't for this guy paid Pastor Chuck's way to a camp that he dedicated his life, I wouldn't be here today. So when you say, I'm not important, you are destroying the work of God. You are absolutely important. And we need to understand that Andrew refused to cop an attitude. And I'm asking you guys from my heart, and I'm saying it to myself, if God uses other people more than me, I need to just accept it. I know F.B. Myers was devastated. He was right down from C.H. Spurgeon. Spurgeon had 28,000 people. F.B. Myers had 125. He was bitter. Spurgeon asked F.B. Myers if he'd come do a Bible study. And F.B. Myers said, no, I have to decline. And Spurgeon said, why? This is an opportunity. He said, because I've been bitter with you for 20 years. In other words, he destroyed his life. So now we read about F.B. Myers now. But then his ministry was almost destroyed because of this bitterness. So I need to refuse any weirdness in my heart. Peter could move the multitudes, but Andrew could move Peter. No one else could move Peter. Jesus had a hard time with Peter. Amen? But Andrew could move Peter. This is very important. And lastly, Andrew's concern. So number one, Andrew's conversion. Second, Andrew's character. He made a covenant. He would not alter from what God wanted. And that's kind of cool. It said Philip was called from preaching, like some 3,000 people. And then he was taken over here to the desert to stand by himself. And then he was shown the Ethiopian man, right? Now be careful. Hang on to the King James. It says, when God showed him, he ran in the desert. That tells me that sometimes I'm here, I'm bummed out because God took me away. God shows me what to do. Okay, I'll do this. Now what? No. He was running in the desert. He kept his heart right with God. And lastly, Andrew's concern. Number one, his brother. So when you have character and you have a conversion, the last is really easy. You just go around loving people. And so Andrew had a concern, his brother. Notice verse 41. And he first finds his brother, Simon, saving his brother the best day of his whole life. And once again, so important, he went home. Now, we would like to go out. Amen. We don't want to go home. Well, Jesus sent people home. I think that you need to come to a place that no matter how tough it is at home, that you need to constantly reach out. I know when my daughter took off, I got so upset and so discouraged. But then I remember God speaking to me right here in this pulpit. Stephen, you can preach, you can do this, but you can't reach out. I thought that you were a shepherd. I made you a shepherd. Shepherds reach out. Shepherds look. Shepherds find. Shepherds bring back. But, you know, she doesn't want to. That doesn't make a difference. What are you going to do? And the moment I was unwilling to do it, I was disobedient. And when I'm disobedient, Satan was able to get a hold of my heart. The moment I said, you're right, I need to go after her. And so for years, I reached out, a phone call, a letter, years, years. Now we're swimming in the pool together. You can never stop reaching out. Well, my wife, my kids, my aunt, whoever it might be, you have to reach out. And Jesus sent that one man back. And then secondly, not only did he reach out to his brother, but you remember it says Andrew reached out to a boy. Now that's kind of cool. I'm only going to reach out to, you know, Billy Graham. I'm only going to reach out to Steve Mays. I want to kind of get close. No, no. I'll reach out to my brother. I'll reach out to a child. Well, how can you do that? Because you have a relationship with God and because you have character. When you have character and a relationship, it doesn't make a difference if you're white or black. It doesn't make a difference if you go to Iraq or Iran or Hawaii. It doesn't make a difference because you will do what God wants you to do. And what does God want you to do? To be a blessing. So he says here in John chapter 6, verse 8, John chapter 6, verse 8. Very important, Andrew and this lad. Three scriptures talk about Andrew. The first is in John chapter 1. The second is in John chapter 6, verse 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Don't you hate that? Now, why would the Holy Spirit do that? It just drives me crazy. Why would the Holy Spirit keep saying it over and over again? Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Why couldn't he just say Andrew, who was with his brother, Simon? It's like, I'm going to drill this point in you. That you are going to live under the shadow of your brother for the rest of your life. And I'll tell you what. You look at PK kids, they go out to the devil because they want their own name. They don't want to live under the shadow of who we are. You need to learn to thank God for the shadow and then build your own life. It's like Billy Graham or whatever, Franklin. He has to learn to live under the shadow, but then he has to learn to step out and be who God wants him to be. If you hate this, you're going to destroy it. You can't do that. Billy Graham was Billy Graham. Franklin's Franklin. Billy Graham had tremendous influence. Well, that's a shadow that God gave him. Now, Franklin's his own man. If Franklin says, I don't want to do that, that's wrong. This is who he is. This is who he's going to become. You incorporate both of them. And you thank God for the heritage. And you look to the future for what God wants you to do. So you might not like who you are. Well, why wasn't I born this color? Or why wasn't I born with more sense? It doesn't make a difference. You are what you are. Now, the reason you're staying where you are is probably because you are not hanging out with the Lord. You're not catching vision. And you don't believe that God can use you. You could be the next Billy Graham. You could be the next Steve Mays. In other words, it all depends on your relationship with God. He goes on to say in verse 9, there's a lad here which had 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. And there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000. Now here's the test in verse 7. And Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth bread is not sufficient for them. Now here's the test for Philip. It was Philip's city. Jesus was in Philip's city. And Jesus said, Philip, go ahead and feed them. And when Philip said, well, we don't have enough money, he blew it. If Jesus said feed them, you don't have to look at resources. So he didn't pass the test. In other words, when God tells you to go home and love your wife, I just can't. You blew it. If God tells you to go home and love your wife, that means God's going to change your wife. If God tells you to go do a better job at work and you say, I can't because of my boss, well, you just blew it. Because the sufficiency is God in you, and the hope is what God wants. And as your day is, so shall your strength be. So I need to look beyond who I am. Moses saw the invisible God. And again, very powerfully. And so here, the testing. And what I want to share with you is Philip missed an opportunity because he was looking for finances. I think Andrew just kind of looked around and he walked around and he saw this little boy who had this little tiny sack. And he probably walked up to that boy and said, hey, son, would you like to help us out? Well, if you're aggressive, that little boy would walk away. But something tells me in my heart that the little boy trusted the man of God. And when children trust you, it means that there's a sense of peace in your life. And so he probably gave the lunch to Andrew. And like most of us, we would run and say, hey, I found a sack lunch. He didn't. Come here, son. You are part of this miracle. He brought the boy. And he said, Jesus, here it is. And what did Jesus do? He multiplied it. Here's the lesson. What's in your hands? Give it to me. I'll make it better. You have a home? Give it to me. I'll make it better. You have a job? Give it to me. I'll make it better. You have a ministry? Give it to me. I'll make it better. But we can't do it. We don't have the ability. Give it to me and I'll make it better. So the sufficiency is not me preaching. It's God preaching through me. It's not me trying to run the church. It's God's doing it. And it's not you trying to do things, it's him. The opportunity, tender, the boy said he had a lunch. And so we see that he brought his problems to Jesus. That's the second thing. It's one thing to bring a brother to Jesus. It's a second thing to bring your problems to Jesus. Hey, well, this is all I have. I have a heart. I got a life. I'm a mess. Here it is. And we see a great lesson. The boy yielded his life, and Simon helped him do that. And Andrew, notice in John chapter 12, verse 20, the last point, and we'll close it up. John chapter 12, verse 20. This is the third time Andrew's mentioned. And John chapter 12, verse 20, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. And they came there to Philip, which was Bethsaida at Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. This is so cool. Now, Philip, the accountant, who couldn't figure numbers, he still didn't get it because he didn't know what to do. But notice in verse 22, Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. Now, he could have taken the guys and said, hey, Jesus, these guys want to meet. But he took Philip with him. I like Andrew because you don't see humility very often in a man. And you don't see Andrew trying to take an opportunity and please Jesus. But every time you see Andrew, he's coming to Jesus. He brought his brother to Jesus. He brought the boy to Jesus. He brought the Greeks to Jesus. He didn't do what a lot of times we do. Oh, I'll sit down and I'll share with you. You know, or I got the answer. No, let's go talk to Jesus. He didn't leave the boy out. He didn't tell Philip to go. He brought the lad and he brought Philip. because he wanted to build their esteem. And when you find a man who has a conversion, and you find a man that has character, then that man will never hurt another brother or a sister or a ministry. People that destroy ministry, talk about ministry, they have no character, no integrity whatsoever. And it's kind of good. You know, you realize Philip was perplexed, and the Greeks, they were dissatisfied, and so they were coming to Christ. But kind of interesting, notice in verse 23 through 25, and Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come, the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, abides alone. And in other words, if you love your life, you're going to lose it. And I thought of one last thing, and this is myself. This is not the Bible. But you can turn with me if you want. Mark 13, chapter 1, verse 1. Mark 13, verse 1. This is for me, and I'm not going to say it's by divine appointment, but I just saw this one day reading the Bible, and it really touched my heart. It's in Mark chapter 13, verse 1. And he went out of the temple. One of his disciples said unto him, Master, see what manner of stone and what buildings are here. You remember the story. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, verse 3 is the killer. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter, James, John, help me, Andrew. Did he get in? I think he did. I really think he got in. He got first string. Do you see that? It didn't say, Andrew, help me out. Doesn't say that. It's Andrew by himself. So here's the killer question today. Could all the stuff going on in your life just be a test? And if you would pass the test, then it would be Stephen, a servant of God. You see, I just think it's so cool that Andrew was faithful bringing people to Jesus. And Andrew was faithful bringing the food to Jesus. And Andrew was faithful bringing the scholars to Jesus. And because of that, it says here in Mark chapter 13, verse 3, Peter, James, John, and Andrew. I think he made first string. And I believe it's possible. As you are faithful to God, that God can do it. So Lord, today, help me to really get a handle on what God you want. Help me to bring my wife to Jesus. Help me to bring my children to Jesus. Help me to bring my staff to Jesus. Help me to take the finances to Jesus. Help me to take all the problems to Jesus. Help me to have character that when the boss looks at me, he'll say, if I make him in charge, I'll have nothing to lose. And when it's all said and done, I'll hear the words, enter thou in, thou good and faithful servant. And maybe, instead of living in the shadow of Peter, I can rise with his esteem and with his honor and carve out my own place, that it was Peter, James, John, and Andrew. Father, I pray that God, as these men are here, and Father, they're going to be so blessed with a great message, that, Lord, that they would take this message, and God, they take it deep in their hearts, and they would begin to apply their own personal conversion and their character, and God, you would give them passion and a concern for the lost. And God, it doesn't make a difference who we minister to. That God, if we are blessed, that Lord, it seems like everything's a test. So help us to do this for you. And I thank Jesus that you were so touched that all the other disciples were fighting. Andrew kept bringing people to you. And they were looking for positions and they were fighting and moms were trying to get their boys a second place. And Andrew just brought people to you. So he brought the grocer, he brought the Bible student, he brought the kids, he brought anywhere he went, anything he heard, anything he did, you know, let's take him to Jesus. Oh, if we could be men that don't have the answers, maybe we could get a lot further. But I know someone who does. His name's Jesus Christ. And we will thank you and we will praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.